Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Welcome one and all down here, up there, out there. Welcome to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Folks, we're still all a Twitter. The country is still all riled up about last night's season finale of men's football. I can't believe Patrick Mahomes and the trophy finally kissed. It was will they or won't they all season long. As expected, the city of Philadelphia devolved into total chaos. And then the game started. It was a nail biter. Did you watch the game?
It was amazing.
I can't believe that final touchdown by Phillies. Yeah. Nail biter to the bitter end with the Chiefs edging out the Eagles 38-35. It was a fun night of football, if you don't count watching 30,000 people doing the tomahawk chop. Sadly, it looks like the NFL once again failed to end racism. So far, they've only ended zone. Wow. This is... Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
At the stroker.
At the chin stroker.
This is a QB Patrick Mahomes' second Super Bowl win in 4 years, made even more impressive because he did it with a high ankle sprain, which was actually the second worst injury of the night after Terry Bradshaw got his head stuck in a soft pretzel. Get well soon, Terry. Get well soon. But America's not the only place that enjoyed the big game. The NFL showed clips of viewing parties around the world.
The Super Bowl really is a global event. Fan viewing parties in time zones around the world, from Sao Paulo, Brazil, Eagles watch party in Accra, Ghana, to a Chiefs viewing party in Munich, Germany. It's just so awesome to see all the reaction. So much passion for the NFL around the world.
Oh, Germany. Oh, no. Not a great look, Germany. I'm going to say... you've lost the right to group hand gestures. Just tether the wrist to the... Nothing. Nothing. Can't get it up there. Strap it down. Strap it down. Of course, the MVP of last night's Super Bowl has got to be Rihanna with her halftime show out there. Those backup dancers were amazing, and they seemed really familiar. Jim, can we get another shot? Super, super, super deep bowl. But of course, the big news is that following the show, Rihanna announced, yes, she is pregnant, not. Yes, Rihanna is pregnant, not to be confused with Prince's performance in 2007 when everyone watching got pregnant. By the way, that joke right there was written by one of my writers who is also pregnant, who added that, unlike Rihanna, she spent last night on the couch eating a tub of low-fat yogurt before bursting into tears at a Bud Light commercial because, and I quote, Miles Teller seems like he really loves his wife. So, that's a good halftime show. I'd watch that at halftime. Switching to America's other national pastime, being terrified of giant balloons. Last week, a Chinese spy balloon soared across America before finally being shot down by a stealth fighter. Just a reminder, we spend almost $800 billion a year on defense, and we used it to pop a balloon. You could also do that. Okay. You could do that with a thumbtack and a straw. Now, a balloon doesn't necessarily do this thing justice. It was 2 to 3 school buses in size, 200 feet across, and the debris was found to contain an antenna meant to pinpoint the locations of communication devices and was capable of intercepting calls made on those devices. What? Well, we can't have Chinese balloons monitoring our cell phones. That's what TikTok is for. Anyway, we thought the whole thing had blown over. Thank you. Uh-huh. But
there
then.
You go. There you go.
No?
There you go.
Nothing? Nothing? Not even. Don't. That wasn't a rim shot. That was a pity shot. Thank you, Joseph. Then this weekend, the U.S. military shot down 3 unidentified flying objects. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Steve, you can't possibly be suggesting that these are aliens. Well, let me be clear about this, ladies and gentlemen. I am not suggesting that. I am declaring that. Because, and this is important, according to a senior Air Force general, the military was unable to immediately determine the means by which any of the 3 latest objects were kept aloft or where they were coming from, adding, I haven't ruled out anything. Yeah, nothing's off the table. It could be aliens, it could be balloons, or it could be alien balloons. Now, according... Sure, why not? Why not? Okay. Now, according to experts, one reason we may be seeing all these objects getting shot down is that in the wake of the Chinese spy balloon, U.S. and Canadian militaries are hyper-vigilant in flagging some objects that might previously have been allowed to pass. So evidently, now the military is like a dad who got one of those motion-activated night vision wildlife cams for a Christmas present and keeps blowing up the family's text chain. I saw the fox again. Here he is at 2:37 a.m. and again at 2:44 a.m. I gotta tell the McCardles to move their composting bins. Don't forget, mom's birthday is in April. Heart, 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 heart. So, let's run through the definitely alien objects. On Friday, a U.S. fighter jet brought down an unidentified object over the waters of Alaska. It was headed toward the North Pole before it was struck down. Santa, you will be missed. Then, on Saturday, another object was shot down over Canada. Oh, my God! Something happened in Canada! On Saturday night, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau tweeted, I ordered the takedown of an unidentified object that violated Canadian airspace. A U.S. F-22 successfully fired at the object. Okay, good to know. Justin? Can I call you Justin? If it was a U.S. F-22 that shot it down, you didn't order anything. You called your neighbor Joe and said, hey, can I ask you a favor? Small but important difference. Never mind. You did great. The military is being very hush-hush about what they shot down. All they'll tell us is that it was cylindrical. Aha! Aha! Clearly, the alien invasion is imminent. Look down right now. Everyone watching at home, look down at your butt. Are you being probed right now? Now, this is important. Look who's doing it. Is it an alien? Write me a card if it was. Then, we'll put the address up later, right? We'll put the address up. Yeah, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Okay. Then on Sunday, another UFO was shot down over Lake Huron, and this one was not cylindrical, but octagonal, with strings hanging off and no discernible payload. Do you know what this means? The aliens have achieved tactical pinata technology. The payload's inside. And it's delicious. We've been gone for a week, which means we have a decade's worth of lies to recap from New York Congressman George Santos. Seen here telling reporters that this room behind him is full of his supermodel friends, but they are really shy. We recently learned that during his campaign, Santos told donors he produced the Broadway musical Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark. Now, that's a pretty big job, but as his uncle once told him, with great power comes great responsibility. Obviously, I don't need to explain to you that this is a lie. But it's also a really weird one, because Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark is famously one of the biggest disasters in Broadway history. Santos is basically saying, you know that show everyone made fun of where the actors kept falling on the audience that lost $60 million? That was me. Also, if you didn't know, I wrote that jingle for Cars for Kids. When, yeah, there you go. There you go. Now, when reporters fact-checked Santos, one of the show's actual producers said that Santos had nothing to do with it, adding, neither did I, this call never happened. Of course, Santos isn't always lying. Sometimes he is committing crimes. Like in 2017, when he reportedly stole puppies from the Amish. Wow. A sentence that I don't believe has ever been uttered on this stage before. This theater opened in 1927. No one has ever said he stole puppies from the Amish. And is this true? I'm being told we have a picture of the Amish puppies. There you go. There you go. We should stop the monologue right there. Nothing gets better than the Amish puppies. Here's what happened. Back in 2017, Santos bought some dogs from several Pennsylvania dog breeders, but after he made off with the pups, his checks bounced, totaling more than $15,000. $15,000 for puppies! Holy shitsu! Santos claimed his checkbook was stolen. Somebody else bought the dogs with the bad checks. And yet, a few days later, he held a dog adoption event at a Staten Island pet store. Nothing suspicious about that. Your Honor, I didn't rob that jewelry store. Totally unrelated question. How are you set for tennis bracelets? We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, John Oliver.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
We have our first guest. And my first guest is one of my top six favorite Johns. We counted before the show, didn't we? It was top three. I'm like, six. And my only favorite host of Last Week Tonight on HBO. Please welcome back to The Late Show, John Oliver. There you go.
Hello.
Nice to
good
see
evening.
You.
Good evening. Good evening to one and all.
Hey, nice to see
hey.
You.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
How you been?
All right, top six, huh?
Yeah.
Six.
Well, I got a lot of Johns in my family.
Sure.
I got a lot of Johns
in my family. I'll give you that for free.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Stew Beef is going ahead of me. I'll give you that as well.
No, he's not even on the list.
Batiste left you, just for the record. I'm here.
Neither one of them, because these are strictly J-O-H-N John.
Oh, so I'm not even getting into the H-N. That's bull. I'm not coming here for a top six H.
Yes. Later, I'll tell you who scored above you.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Okay, let's earn it.
All right.
Let's earn it.
Yeah, let's earn it. Okay. And let's see how much I agree.
That's called driving tune in. Now, they got to stick around to find out who I like more than you, whose name is spelled J-O-H John.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow, what a fascinating glimpse into commercial television that is.
Yes. Oh, you damn you.
I have the opposite of that. It's not tuning, it's just you can't leave until I finish talking about compounding pharmacies. If I
That's
ever
true.
Had one commercial yes. break in a story, everyone would leave.
Right. If you exhaled.
Yes, that's
like,
right.
Just one breath, right?
One breath. You get to the end, say it anyway. That's it. That's the end.
Yes.
That is the only way to actually get people to listen to the that we have to say.
Speaking of broadcast, did you, you're an American.
Yes,
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did, of course. I watched the Super Bowl.
And did you enjoy?
I love it as an event. I love it. It's a
Me
cartoonish
too.
Event. It is literally too big in every possible way. What's not to like about that? When you have the city of Philadelphia represented as well, come on.
Yes. I was hoping they would win just because I enjoy watching the people attempt to climb the greased-up light poles.
Either way, if Philly's in the Super Bowl, either way, the city is going to burn. It's just what motivated those flames. Are those flames of joy or flames of rage? But you're working backwards from arson on a massive scale.
Now, please.
No, the thing that's gross to me about the Super Bowl that I always forget is going to happen is that they give it to the owner first, the trophy.
The Lombardi.
Give it to the owner. The team has just won. The coach has just coached this team through. And you have some arse 70-year-old billionaire say, oh, I would like to thank my family for this. What? Your family has nothing to do with this. Nothing. You shouldn't even be on the field. You should be up in your executive box, shutting up. That's what should be happening.
Right.
In no other sport do you give it to the owner first.
They don't do that in football?
No.
In your football, I mean?
Don't do that with your hand when you say Don't do that.
You know.
Don't do that. I didn't just know. I felt it. I saw it in my peripheral vision and I felt a gust of, you know, that thing.
Come on. No, I'm happy for you.
It's around
I'm happy for
you
all of
y'all. You use your toes.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we don't. No. Yeah? No, it's about the people that did it. But the fact you would give it to the owner first and then interview him is absolutely grotesque.
Right.
It has to stop.
But it must be fun for them because who else gets to do that other than the owner of football team?
Oh, sure, that's right. I have $20 billion and now I have this shiny thing. There we go. I tire of it now. What else will fill this vacuum inside me?
Yes. Well, the reason they buy the teams...
Yes.
is because they had $20 million, but nobody knew they had $20 million. Then they buy the team and then everybody knows.
Yeah, sure. I mean, part of me thinks it's also to kind of still own people. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They're not the nicest people, NFL owners. They've proven that. That's not me projecting that. They have proven that they are.
How would you compare American football fans with European, like, football fans? There's famous, like, soccer hooliganism, as we call it over here, is famous. How would you compare the fans?
We like to break stuff, too. That is what I like about the city of Philadelphia sports fans so much. I kind of really respond to this is what you're supposed to. It makes sense that a city that was kind of born out of, you know, some British influence. Again, let's not get into what you did after that. But it really feels like there is some connective tissue to hooliganism in Philly. That's why I like what they do. Flipping cars before the game starts, you think, you're doing this right.
Yes. That's the special relationship. I believe that's what it's described.
That's exactly
destroying
right.
things.
Yeah.
We have to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more of Mr. John Oliver, everybody.
Hey, everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's one of the finest Johns I know, Mr. John Oliver. You're, did not grow up with the American tradition of the Super Bowl or Super Bowl food. Do you do the Super Bowl food?
Yeah, because Super Bowl food is kind of like what you would serve at an 8-year-old's birthday party. It feels like adults realizing we can actually still do this ourselves once a year. We'll have chicken tenders, and we'll have fancy drinks, and we'll have chips, and we'll put it in a plastic football helmet. It's just fun.
Or we'll have artichoke dip or spinach dip
in
the shape of the field, and then all the cut vegetables are the audience.
We'll have fun shapes. Fun shapes. One day a year, we'll have fun shapes, and we'll make ourselves feel better. We should do it all the time. Mm. Eating out of a fun-shaped object is just better than eating off a plate.
What is your impression of American cuisine in general when you first came to this country? How long have we been so graced as to have you on these shores? I was trying to smooth over this part.
And yet you did that through your inflection on the word grace. Your voice almost vibrato wobbled it over. Grace, if I may misuse the word.
How long have you lived here, John?
Since 2006. Yeah, okay. And I am now an American citizen, so you cannot force me out.
That's a good chunk. 17 years. Yeah, that's 17, a good chunk.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your first impression of our cuisine over here?
Well, it was amazing, obviously. It's there's plenty of it. And again, it's the extremity of it, the size of it, and also what you can do with foodstuffs. The first thing that I remember sitting in front of and not fully being able to comprehend what I was looking at was the Oreo pizza. Do you remember that? I was obsessed with
for
years.
Our friends at Domino's.
That's that's right.
Our friends at Domino's bring you the delicious Oreo pizza. Domino's, it's what's for dinner.
Hey, Domino's. Domino's, you're killing people. You need to stop.
He's joking. He's a joker. He's obviously...
I think...
He's just kidding.
Yeah.
You may not know this, but we keep track of some of our high-ticket guests, what I would say.
Sure.
People who are actually really, you know, been here a lot.
Yeah.
People that we enjoy, seem to enjoy their time here.
Quantity over quality, that's what you're talking about.
Exactly. This is your 16th appearance.
Wow.
On the show.
16.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations. I got you a bottle of Advil. You can have that later. You are just edging out Bernie Sanders with 15, but Bernie's on next week. So watch your back. Watch your back, okay? Oh, he knows. He heard you were coming on.
Yeah,
he's like,
I said,
book me. So let's call this your 16th.
I'm not going down like that.
Exactly. Is turning 16 in the old country a big deal?
Not really. I mean, you can go into pubs, but you can kind of always
That's nice.
Do. Yeah, you can go. You can always do that.
Really? As a child, you can go in?
You can go in with your family, and at 16, you can go in unaccompanied, I believe, and you can't buy alcohol, but you can drink it. That's it.
How does that work?
Well, you can go in with someone who's an 18-year-old. I think the other loophole is you can eat... I remember from my local food, from my local pub, you could drink if you had food, if you had a meal. But...
Really?
What's a meal? Is it a packet of crisps or a bag of nuts? According to my pub, yes. Absolutely.
Well,
that's potato.
Many people who travel to England say, what is a meal?
But okay. And No, you can have a little of that as well. No.
Organ meats. It's changed. Kidneys.
Indian food is incredible in England,
yes,
and
it
I
is.
Don't want to get into why. Anyway.
We have to take a little bit of a break
Let's
here, John.
No problem.
We'll be right back. That's John Oliver. He'll be here, won't you?
I'll be here.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods too by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the host of Last Week Tonight, Mr. John Oliver. I want to check in on a couple of things here. It's always too much fun here. Your 10th season Last Week Tonight is about to, when's it start?
Sunday.
This Sunday.
This Sunday.
10th season.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks.
I'm not exactly sure how to preamble this photo I'm about to show, but this is the poster that's going up all over town. This is the ad that's being run in magazines on the internet.
Yep.
This is, and the tag is, it's only been 9 years, and it starts off with, this is over here, it's two photos. One of you from...
Our very first poster. From the day that we started the show.
2014.
Yep. 2014.
2014.
Right. Yeah.
And then this,
and, then, just
and
me.
Then you now.
Yeah, just me now. Yeah. Now.
Then.
Yeah. So it's not ideal. It's not ideal.
You got. I want to know.
It's not ideal.
Please tell me you're slouching because it looks like you actually lost height.
Yeah, that's right. I have been diminished. The crazy thing is, I'll write a scene. He came up with this idea, and it's a perfect idea. And then we sent it to HBO, and the first draft they sent back was me on this side, and then they kind of mocked up me with, like, a long beard, like I'm in ZZ Top. And we had to say to them, no, the joke isn't what I might look like if I age badly. The joke is my actual face. Believe me, that's my nice. Face can stick the landing on this punchline.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, go
what
for
What happened? Jim, can we go back to this place? What happened to this little mop up there? That you could do that. What happened to this right there?
You know what? That Liz Stanton, who's our executive producer,
yeah.
She made me get a haircut because she did not like those bangs. Even though, in a sense, I was ahead of my time. Or you could argue horribly behind the time. Oh. Yeah. She, one of her life regrets is that she did not force me to have a haircut. Before the first show, she got the haircut, not before the photo shoot. So those bangs, I think, hurt her eyes and soul every time she's... There you go.
Look how young you look right there.
Yeah.
Like, you're fantastic.
Yeah.
You look fantastic here.
That's it.
I want you to think about it.
I'm gonna get some surgically implanted bangs. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they do them.
Mm-hmm. You're over at that HBO, right? HBO or are you HBO Max?
Who knows?
Is there a difference?
It's a fast-moving landscape, this media world that we work in.
How is the leadership over there? You guys got bought and there's blood in the gutters?
Since I walked out, because I don't know. We're getting bought a lot at the moment. Are you saying that we've been bought by the mouse?
Are we still Yeah,
by the shark guys.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. Are you part of Shark Week now?
No, because I am against corporate synergy in all of its most convenient forms.
Okay, before we go,
What do you got?
I have to obviously. I need to get both an American and. Do you have dual citizenship, by the way, or did you say?
Yeah, okay, I've got dual citizenship. You asked me that last time. I have dual citizenship. I don't know what you find so difficult about. I'm allowed to be.
I don't.
A citizen of both. Countries.
I don't understand that
you don't
at all.
Like
no,
it.
I don't.
You don't like it at all, do you?
I don't like it at all.
You like someone to pick a lane and stay in it.
When one of the Colberts way back in the day, he landed somewhere in Virginia and had to go all the way to St. Louis to get away from trouble, I think. I think it was a horse thief.
Back up. You can't throw in a detail in a story like that. Anyway, I think it was a horse thief. That's the most fascinating thing I've ever heard out of your mouth. Yeah. I only see now horse thief generation in you. I'm never letting you near a horse because that doesn't go away.
The family rule, we believe that he was a horse thief and that's why he had to flee. But when he became an American citizen, we have the little document. He had to say he forswears any allegiance to the Queen of England.
Yeah. Well, I forswore that years before I became an American citizen. So that was not an issue.
All right, that's good. You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah. I dumped that.
So give me the international perspective here. These UFOs. UFOs.
Yeah.
Do you think they're UFOs?
These UFOs are under your skin. Look at you all sat up. You're excited, aren't you?
Well, John, what is it about what is it about the possibility of the UFOs that excites me?
Of course. Of course, I get it. Is it the idea that you thought we've taken this life on Earth thing as far as we can? Someone take the relay baton from us. Is that what it is?
I would love some advice.
Yeah.
I would love some advice.
I mean, these are
unidentified aerial phenomena.
That's right. So they exist. Right. It's really the you part of that identified.
But they told us like 2.5 years ago that they were real, that they do like, 8,000 miles an hour and they stop instantly and they pull 800 Gs or whatever.
You're conflating a lot of things there, right?
That's what I do.
These are...
I do that professionally. Have you not watched the show?
You know who else conflates a lot of things? Dominoes. And stop it. It's not a foodstuff if you keep messing with it. Don't put gummy bears on a pizza, you sociopaths.
Do you actually want to talk about this?
About UFO? We can talk about UFOs.
Do you want to, though?
Well, I think that these are, like, high-velocity surveillance balloons, which have been around for, like, 50 years.
High-velocity balloons?
Yes.
There's no high-velocity balloons.
Really?
High-velocity balloon!
Send a balloon high enough, that thing will move at a high velocity.
Hey, that was a nice try. That was a nice try. That was a nice try. Nice try. John, thank you so much. No, we gotta go. The 10th season of Last Week Tonight. And this is the guy right there. One of these two guys
I'm dying.
Is hosting. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wild Card, wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.